Trend number three, genomics and the rise of personalized medicine 2.0. The concept of personalized medicine is now 15 years old. And as a recent strategy and business article from Booz & Company explains, we have only reached what could be called version 1.0 of personalized medicine. Today, doctors use tests to diagnose whether a particular patient might benefit from a drug that a company has already developed. The goal is to reach version 2.0 of personalized medicine. At that point, companies will develop drugs and diagnostics together. Using this approach, pharmaceutical researchers will identify a specific subgroup of patients and then design a drug tailored specifically for those patients. As Strategy and Business points out, the obstacle to achieving this vision has been the expense of using the 2.0 model. Fortunately, costs are now falling dramatically. Whereas it cost $3 billion to sequence the first human genome, and mapping it required several years of research, an individual can now get his or her personal genome sequenced for a few thousand dollars or less. As this technology continues to advance, it seems highly likely that by 2020, it will cost around $300 and take about an hour. What's more, we'll not only be able to get this information quickly and cheaply, but doctors will become better at understanding what it means. When both physicians and patients can use genetic data to predict health issues and customize treatments, we'll have finally arrived at personalized medicine 2.0. When the Human Genome Project was completed in 2003, the focus was almost entirely on the 2% of the genetic code known as genes. Genes are the portions of the DNA sequence that actually code for proteins. At the time, researchers had no idea what, if any, functions were actually performed by the other 98%. In fact, until recently, most biologists believed that the rest of this DNA was simply residual junk left over from failed mutations over billions of years of evolution. However, a massive new effort involving over 80 institutions, funded by the United States National Institutes of Health and called the ENCODE Project, has determined that at least 80% of the so-called junk DNA functions to turn off and on specific genes in specific cells at specific times in order to accomplish specific tasks. ENCODE stands for Encyclopedia of DNA Elements and is coordinated by a team at the University of Washington in Seattle. This discovery is, for the first time, giving us an understanding of the programming language written into the DNA base pairs that regulates every aspect of life. Without these switches, called regulatory DNA, genes are inert. Using a technology developed with funding from the ENCODE Project, UW researchers created the first detailed maps of where the regulatory DNA is located within hundreds of different kinds of living cells. They also compiled a dictionary of the instructions written within the regulatory DNA. The key findings are reported in two papers appearing recently in the journal Nature. These are the most important of the 30-plus major research papers already published based on the early results from the ENCODE Project. The breakthrough studies described in the two Nature papers provide the first extensive maps of the DNA switches that control human genes. This information is vital to understanding how the body makes different kinds of cells and how normal gene circuitry gets rewired in disease. This means that scientists are now, for the first time, able to read the living human genome at a high level of detail and to begin to make sense of the complex instruction set that ultimately influences a wide range of human biology. Here are the two key results of this research. First, the instructions within regulatory DNA are inscribed in small DNA words that function as the docking sites for special proteins involved in gene control. In many cases, these switches are located far away from the genes that they control. Of the 2.89 million regulatory DNA regions the researchers mapped, only around 200,000 were active in any given cell type. This fraction is almost totally unique to each type of cell. It becomes a sort of molecular barcode of the cell's identity. The researchers also developed a method for linking regulatory DNA to the genes it controls. The results of these analyses show that the regulatory program of most genes is made up of more than a dozen switches. Together, these findings greatly expand the understanding of how genes are controlled and how that control may differ between normal and disease cells. Second, the instructions for turning genes on and off are written in regulatory DNA scattered throughout the non-gene regions of the human genome. Having mapped the locations of the regulatory DNA switches, the UW researchers wanted to know what made them tick. These regions contain small chains of DNA words that make up docking sites for special regulatory proteins involved in gene control. The human genome contains hundreds of genes that make such proteins. Unfortunately, the existing techniques lack the accuracy to resolve the DNA letters to which the proteins dock. So, to find the actual DNA words recognized by regulatory proteins in living cells, the researchers employed a simple, powerful trick that enabled them to study all the regulatory proteins at once. They look for their shadows or footprints on the DNA. By using next-generation DNA sequencing technology, the researchers analyzed hundreds of millions of DNA backbone breaks made when cells were treated with the enzyme DNase-I. They then used a powerful computer to resolve millions of protein footprints. In total, they identified 8.4 million such footprints along the genome, some of which were detected in many cell types. Next, they compiled all of the short DNA sequences to which the proteins were docked and analyzed them using a software algorithm that required hundreds of microprocessors working simultaneously. This revealed that more than 90% of the protein docking sites were actually slight variants of just 683 different DNA words. These are essentially a dictionary of the genome's programming language. Suddenly, we've gone from a preliminary understanding of the 2% of the genome that codes for proteins to our first understanding of the 98% of the genome that controls the 2%. Coupled with the exponential improvement in gene sequencing price performance, ENCODE has broken down the biggest barriers to unleashing personalized medicine 2.0. However, technology is not enough. Those companies that try to simply retrofit the technologies of personalized medicine 2.0 onto old business models will not be successful. The companies that will emerge as the leaders in personalized medicine 2.0 will be fundamentally different from today's diagnostic and pharmaceutical firms. According to Booz & Company, the distinctive capabilities of these companies will be cross-functional, including combinations of processes, technologies, knowledge, skills, and organization. This integrated model requires synchronization throughout every step of the value chain, from discovery to development to commercialization to lifecycle management. For example, if a company decides to develop an expertise in a particular field, such as oncology, it will need to bring in professionals in genetic research, patient outreach, and sales and marketing. Finance will also be a key component for the purpose of developing pricing and economic models to meet the needs of stratified patient populations created by personalized medicine. So, just as personalized medicine will impact the health of patients, it will also impact the health of businesses, either positively or negatively, depending on whether they adapt their business models to the new reality. Healthcare businesses are facing a fundamentally new value proposition. It is a game changer for hospitals and individual physicians, for payers including Medicare and private insurance, and patients who will be able to participate in their own care more than ever before. Tapping into a wealth of genetic and biological data will become the norm as physicians and patients are enabled to create personalized therapies. But it will be the pharmaceutical industry that will be impacted the most by the new approach to individualized diagnosis and treatment. It will be a shot in the arm for an industry that has been struggling. Historically, leading pharmaceutical companies have counted on innovation to sustain their businesses as it provided new medicines for lucrative markets. Lately, however, research and development productivity across the industry has eroded, and there has been a drought of new product launches. No big breakthroughs are promising to fill the new product pipeline, but personalized medicine is poised to change all that and pump new profits into the industry. On the surface, this seems counterintuitive, since personalizing any product seems to imply smaller product lots. And this is true for personalized medicine with its segmentation of people and therapies tailored to individuals or small groups. However, these smaller revenue pools can actually be more profitable. The complications of one-size-fits-all medications can be reduced by manufacturing differentiated products, as can system-wide costs. New efficiencies in production and distribution can also be established, while there will be new opportunities for marketing. Based on this trend, consider the following forecasts. First, because personalized medicine is a disruptive innovation, the pharmaceutical industry's resistance to change will need to be overcome. Those companies that participate in the change, the ones that play a major role in disrupting their own industry, will be the ones that will be successful moving forward. Typically, the leaders in the old order are the ones who are the victims of disruption, not its initiators. In this rare case, companies have the opportunity to be both old order leaders and disruption initiators, much the way IBM was when it promoted the first personal computer that made deep inroads into business. But that window of opportunity will be short for old order companies. Longer term, they'll need to re-educate themselves about how to be profitable with incredible product line fragmentation and therapeutic compounds with very small volumes. In this new order, traditional blockbuster drugs will become increasingly rare. But for the companies that learn how to manage the business of personalized medicine, profits will not be rare at all. Second, companies that are successful in the new world of personalized medicine 2.0 will incorporate five important imperatives. One, they will embed a mindset that says personalization is a necessity, not an option. It will become a fundamental assumption that virtually all new developments in the pipeline will be tailored for specific patient groups rather than mass markets. Two, the most successful companies will become increasingly flexible, with a willingness to drop a seemingly promising compound as soon as it becomes clear it is not a good fit with the emerging economy of personalized medicine 2.0. Three, personalized medicine capabilities will be built into a company's existing capabilities system, but with a significant shift. Drug candidates that show the potential for a large market but exhibit a lower probability of success need to be passed over. Instead, drugs for smaller markets that appear likely to succeed need to be pursued. Four, partnerships will be forged to access cross-functional and interdisciplinary capabilities. This will be particularly significant for diagnostics development and commercialization. And five, sales forces will be rebuilt with new capabilities. They will speak a new language that pairs targeted therapies with sophisticated diagnostic tests. They will also have a thorough command of biological and disease pathway intelligence, likely delivered via physician-friendly knowledge databases. Third, as soon as 2015, popular demand will begin driving the growth of personalized medicine 2.0. As consumers become more educated about the benefits of this new approach to diagnostics and treatment, they will create a pull for the new model. This will represent a shift from the traditional medical model, where the introduction of drugs, equipment, and procedures has been pushed by healthcare professionals and manufacturers. The increasing availability of information will greatly contribute to this new model of consumer pull for therapies that are targeted to the individual with virtually no side effects. The fact that people are already paying for such treatments on their own reveals this pent-up demand. One example goes back as far as 1996, when a predictive test for hereditary breast and ovarian cancer called BRAC analysis became available on the market. At the time, Medicare and private health insurance did not cover it. Yet, despite its $3,000 cost, many patients ordered the test, electing to cover the cost themselves. Fourth, in the coming decade, a new approach to clinical trials and regulatory approval will emerge that more effectively accommodates personalized medicine. Today, clinical trials take years and involve hundreds of patients. This is not compatible with reaping the benefits of personalized medicine 2.0. A new regulatory scheme is needed, which relies more on statistical methods and computer-aided chemistry and less on large-scale, long-term in vivo testing. The availability of large-scale diagnostic databases and artificial intelligence-based tools will make this possible within the next decade. However, implementation will depend on overcoming bureaucratic inertia and litigious opportunism. The trends editors forecast that jurisdictional competition will inevitably break the logjam as patients go across borders seeking effective therapies. And fifth, enabled by Infotech, personalized medicine 2.0 will become a cost-effective reality by 2020, bending the healthcare cost curve in a favorable direction. The unavoidable reality of our era is the inexorable impact of information technology on every industry and every aspect of our lives. During the installation and transition phases of the information revolution, the impact on healthcare has been mostly peripheral. But as we move into the deployment phase, information technology will form the core of healthcare. Nowhere is this more obvious than in the emergence of personalized medicine 2.0. As previously explained, the unprecedented improvement in price performance associated with genome sequencing is giving physicians full access to the genetic reality of every patient for the first time. The supercomputers of the ENCODE project are making sense of mountains of enormously complex data across the genome, revealing the regulatory DNA programs behind cancer, genetic diseases, and the immune system. Coupled with low-cost, information-intensive diagnostic tests, new artificial intelligence-based expert systems built on technologies like IBM's Watson will make patient-by-patient therapies a reality. And, due to the efficiencies enabled by Infotech, companies in the personalized medicine 2.0 space will realistically be able to manifest the necessary cross-functional and interdisciplinary capabilities for success.